Welcome aboard this week's podcast of Dudes Dish Disney. Get ready for amazing attractions across America. Beer halls and bar rooms, banquets and beverages, a collection of characters and colleagues.
No cupcakes.
It's Dudes Dishing Disney. This episode of Dudes Dish Disney is sponsored by Magic Vacations. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel. And now your hosts, the dudes of Dudes Dish Disney.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Dudes Dish Disney. Joining us this week is our producer and resident tech dude, Jonathan.
What's going on, guys?
Also joining us is our co-host. He is the number one Disney dude. It's Ryan.
What's up, dudes?
And I'm Congo Carl, former Jungle Cruise skipper, here to guide you through this week's episode of Dudes Dis Disney. And this week, we wanted to take you on a tour of Walt Disney World if you are a music lover. This is Disney for the Music Dude, a lyrical and harmonious tour around the 40 square miles of Walt Disney World. We're going to tease your senses of sound. You know, music plays a big role at the parks. It can set the mood and theme for a land. It can render up an IP on an attraction that may become an earworm for you. Or it could be one of the hundreds of songs in Disney's catalog of Academy Award-winning music. Or it could be the main attraction, such as a concert or a show or an evening at a nightclub. So let's dive into Disney for the Music Dude.
Yeah, let's get into it here.
This is a fun topic because there's so many different ways that we could talk about this because, you know, we've talked, God only knows how many times, about Disney being a storytelling company and it's got its roots in entertainment, you know, and movies and cartoons, right? But what do they all have in common? They all have music associated to them. And music is very clearly prevalent at Disney. You have people who love Disney specifically and only for their music. They don't like the theme parks. They're okay with the cartoons, but they love the music. You have people who love all the other stuff and just love the way music intertwines with it, right? But you very rarely find somebody that likes Disney that does not like music, you know, where they're like, no, we don't care, you know? But it's not just Disney music, and I think we'll discuss this as we go. It can be kind of soft Disney music all the way up until rock and roll, like legit hardcore rock and roll. So, let's dig into it. Let's see which direction we want to go with it here. But I'm excited for this show.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one.
So if you're a music dude, John, where are you going to start off? Where are you going to stay if you're a music dude on vacation to kind of set the mood?
So this one pains me to bring up because the three of us have agreed on this resort many times that it is not our favorite resort by a long shot. But the name kind of insists it's to itself. And this is All Star Music. I've stayed there myself before. Again, it's a value resort. You get what you pay for in a value resort. It's a resort. It's a Disney resort. It's still good quality resort. But the cool thing is it has so much music memorabilia. Music, obviously, in the name, what you get and everything that happens with there, it's awesome. It's awesome if you love music. There's so many things that intertwine into that. It's so, so cool.
How about you, Ryan? Where would you stay if you're a music fan?
You know, it's a good question. I think All Star Music is really the one that jumps out to everybody, right? And John being the value stayer of the three of us, it makes sense. I think if I did stay in a value and I went to music, I'd maybe go towards Pop Century even, you know, because you get a little bit of that 60s vibe and 70s vibe out of the music in Pop Century. And at least I'd get the Skyliner too, but that's probably the direction that I would head it up over there, or even Caribbean Beach. You know, Caribbean Beach has got that island vibe to it. Those island musical notes playing all day long, like the steel drums. You know, I think those are the ones to me that kind of stand out.
Yeah, those were all good choices. If it was me though, I think I would stay, I think I would stay Port Orleans because the music is playing there. It's upbeat. It's exciting. You got Scat Cat Lounge and I can jump on the Sasagula Riverboat and be at, Dixie Landings pretty quick to see Yeehaw Bob. And also take the boat into Disney Springs with lots of music opportunities. So for me, if I was a music dude, I think I would pick Port Orleans.
Yeah. I think you're right, especially if you're spending time away from the parks and you really want to spend your time away from the parks being invested in music. I think you probably made the right call there, Carl. That's probably the best place to go.
Yeah, because when I think of the music at Disney, I always think of the live music. When the park first opened, live entertainment was such a bigger part of things than they are now, right? They've kind of shifted into a different focus in the parks. There's still plenty of live performances and music, but I think that was a bigger part. But I also remember, going to the parks, and one of the souvenirs that you brought back was, my first trip there, I brought back vinyl. I brought back later on CDs, and there was a time when the Virgin record store was in downtown Disney, and man, that was a big treat to go in and get all the latest CDs that came out on a shopping trip. You had enough Mickey sweatshirts, you went and got some tunes, right? So purchasing music was there too, and if you were a fan of the parks, you could buy CDs with the music of the parks. And like you said, Ryan, some people are all about the music in the parks too. So
yeah, these days you can just stream all that stuff online.
That's right. It's easy, right?
But you can still buy it too. Yep. You can still buy it. Yeah. Yep.
So we got our places to stay. And now we're going to head to the parks probably and start to appreciate music there. So what do you think? How are we going to appreciate music in the four parks?
So the first thing I'll say that I noticed right away, and you don't always notice it unless you're listening for it, is how well Disney does the transition from land to land, area to area with music, and how subtle the changes are and how it really affects your senses, your mood, everything. It is just awesome how well they do it with the placement of their speakers, how things are hidden. Unless you're looking for that stuff, you're never gonna find it because it's never in plain sight.
It's true, right? And Disney was one of the first people to invent those speakers in the ground that you could put in terrain, and I remember as a kid, music's coming out of the bushes because they were hiding all the speakers, and that they were the first in the theme park industry to do all that, and it helped make that transition real. That upbeat music of Main Street walking in got you moving down the street, right? That fast-paced music. And then other places slowed you down or sped you up or kind of caught into the theme. There's definitely that vibe. You cross the bridge from Liberty Square, you get one background music. You walk to Frontierland, totally different tunes. So I agree with you, John. I love what they do with the background. It does set the tone.
I think setting in the tone too, though, is live music that they're doing at Disney. And let's start, we were just talking about Magic Kingdom. So let's keep it at Magic Kingdom. If you really think about how much live music is in Magic Kingdom, it's surprising if you haven't looked at it before. You've number one, everybody knows the Dapper Dans, right? So the Barbershop Quartet. And they do more than just sing, obviously, but that's a big part of what they do. You also have the pianist at Casey's Corner, right? That's impressive. I mean, just beyond impressive. And then you also have the Main Street Philharmonic, which is the marching band that plays classic Disney music. And then, of course, John, you can even talk about how you'll also have the high school marching bands from time to time come in and do the parade route, right? So there's a lot of that kind of classic big band style music going on in and around just Main Street, much less the rest of the park.
Yeah, you really do have so many different options and just the variety of what's given there. It's really incredible. Like, just listening to you say that, like, you don't realize that. You don't, it doesn't really cross your mind until you really think about it. It's kind of cool how well Disney does that.
Now, not to get too nostalgic, but do you guys remember the Firehouse Five?
Which I do not.
It was like a quintet of saxophone players that were from the Firehouse and used to play just saxophones and all kinds of songs on it, from a tenor to a bass. And then there is over in Adventureland, on what the stage was now, it's now for Jack Sparrow, used to be the Caribbean Soul, and it was a Caribbean steel drum band. And would do all that, you know, because it was Pirates of the Caribbean, and right across the street was there. And then, of course, the Diamond Horseshoe Saloon had their musicians and players, but I digress. That's no longer there now. But if you guys were impressed with that, I mean, back in the day, there was everything. The Troubadours would play in Fantasyland. There was another marching band that was basically in Tomorrowland. They had so much going on, right? Because they didn't have all the headliners that there were today. So they needed diversions to kind of keep you busy. But you're right. I mean, Main Street's kind of classic for that. There's some other, the other park that I am reminded of the live music, and it's still there, is Epcot, right? For, I'm talking about parks and music. Mariachi Cobre is the mariachi band from the Mexico Pavilion. There are still two gentlemen in that band that were there when I was there Epcot opening day. About 5 years ago, there was like seven of them still of the 14 that were original. But they were just getting too old. They had to retire. But nice guys, great music. And at the 40th anniversary, they played a center stage and got that that feeling too. A lot of music around Epcot and World Showcase.
Yeah, there's so much. I mean, that's one of the beauties of World Showcase, because it, again, features culture, food, all that fun stuff. And again, music is part of culture.
Don't forget Musiken Oktoberfest. The Oompa Band in the beer garden. Woo!
One little side story with this, Ryan. I don't know if you remember this, when our trip around World Showcase with Carl, stopping at the beer garden, how excited Carl got when these guys came on to perform. It was literally like watching a little kid on Christmas morning. He literally lit up like I've never seen before.
He's lit up like that every time he talks about the Germany Pavilion.
He does.
Every time. It's like all his wildest fantasies come rushing in as soon as we talk about the Germany Pavilion.
But we're just talking about some good old-fashioned Oktoberfest music.
Right.
And Prozen.
So we definitely have that, right? Like, you also have the drums in Japan, which are awesome and such a cool display of music and culture. You've got the stage out in front of Canada, where there's usually a rock band out there playing. I forget the names for their names right now.
Off Kilter.
Thank you. But that's a standing show right now. And I kind of skip past it and I'll come back to it, but the pavilion outside of the US pavilion, out of the American pavilion, there's always some sort of musical act going on there. And it varies throughout the year. You've seen everything from mini concerts of like real actual touring bands to like, you know, somebody singing show tunes, right? But there's always some sort of music going on in that amphitheater as well. And for me, you know, I probably missed a thing or two, but for me, it kind of culminates in Harmonious, right? Like, we can't skip Harmonious, even though, you know, you have Enchantment at Magic Kingdom, which is heavily music influenced, but that's more about the fireworks, right? And that's more about the projections. Harmonious is all about the music. It's all about the music and how music is, it brings us together as a human society, right? And different cultures, you know, one thing we all love is music. So I think Epcot is probably the pinnacle for the music lover at Disney, in my opinion.
You know, one of the things, if you are a music lover at Epcot, you know, we would advise you to pick up a daily show schedule, because it's not published anywhere in all of the guides, and certainly not at, on your apps the way it is, because it does change. It's seasonal and when they pronounce. And I, for people that music and these types of things are important to them, one of the things I do as an MVP is make sure that I can plan their touring to maximize that music. Because there's certain times in the afternoon they all play. So I want to make sure that if you go into the beer garden, I'm going to get you a dining time where you're going to walk into music and then see a whole set before you leave and get kind of the taste of it, because they do have rotating sets. I'm going to, you know, we're going to time your lunch in Canada to come right out and see them performing on stage. So you can put some thought into the planning for this to really maximize this for your music lover and make it feel like they're stumbling across it, right? If you plan things accordingly in Epcot. And, you know, I agree, it's a, you know, some wonderful stuff going on there. You know, we were talking about the mood music too and the followers. There are some big fans of just like all the attraction music in the front of Epcot, right? Yeah. And what they're playing at Spaceship Earth and stuff. There's some of the classic old attraction stuff that people get in. And there's just some big fans of how cool that music is. And I think for a certain group of people, it brings back childhood memories when they were really young, going to Epcot, and that was kind of the classic Epcot vibe. But they're not the only park with the live music.
Well, before we leave Epcot, I got two more for you, since we went into the other half of the park. World Discovery has the Jammeters.
Jammeters, yep.
Yeah. As well, which is another, you know, they're more percussive, but you've got the Jammeters, but also let's not forget the brand new Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, which was one of Disney's first attractions that has changing music. There's six different songs that play very much to the tune of the Guardians of the Galaxy, Peter Quill's Walkman. Right. But that's another place where music has now crept in to the parks in a different fashion than it had been before. And they've also now been replacing those in holidays with holiday music. So, you know, again, a little bit more music in World Celebration as well in Epcot.
Anything else to add to Epcot before we leave, John?
I don't think so. I mean, we've covered the basic stuff. I mean, it really is a park that you can really enjoy music, and not just the standard theme park music. It's everything. Like, there's so many options that if you just want music and you just want to spend a day in the park, that's the place you want to go. You really do.
Yeah, I think it is. It's a great take. It always has been. It always has, you know, they have, you know, since we're there, concert series, right? With all the festivals, every festival has a music series. You know, the Festival of the Arts certainly has one. We've talked about the Candlelight Processional around the holidays, and the Food and Wine has some pretty fairly big names on who kind of to check out for, you know, for music. And again, that like you said, Ryan, at the gardens. So. Yeah. And, you know, let's give a little credit. If you ever go to the Rose and Crown and have a tip your hat, have a quaff carouses with some Guinness, the pianist there is just as good as the one on Main Street. And they're playing some good old fashioned drinking songs in there.
Yep.
And the last thing I'll say, big cult following, is the Voices of Liberty.
Yeah. It's a really good call. I can't believe I didn't even think about that before.
They, you know, when they started, when the park opened, a cappella groups were not cool or in fashion, right? There's been a revival of them in the last 10 years, 15 years. It's become kind of cool again to see the different artists out there that are just using their voice. And they do that very well. The acoustics in the American Pavilion are amazing as they perform in there without microphones. They do perform out on the American Adventure stage across from the lagoon with microphones. But if you ever see them in the hall without, it's just pure a cappella and wonderful. So Epcot is leading the charge for music.
You know, you don't get far exiting out of Epcot without some more music either. And I don't know if you want to go park to parks, but if we walk over outside of the World Showcase entrance and get over to the boardwalk, there's quite a bit going on over there with some music too.
Ah, yes, there is.
You have the dance hall, obviously, but let's be real, the big attraction there is the dueling pianos. That's a huge attraction. And it's interesting to see, like, as I'm thinking about this, all the different music types. Like, there really is something for pretty much anybody in any style of music across Disney. And I think the dueling pianos is probably the, I don't know, that kind of puts the cap on it, right? Like, because those, they can do anything with those.
Jelly Rolls is a huge fan favorite, for a great night out of town. It is adults only after a certain time, right? So, and there is a small cover charge. And the first time I saw a dueling piano show was at Jelly Rolls. Now, you know, it's kind of syndicated and every city's probably got one. But if you've never experienced to see two people take requests on the piano all night long without stopping, it's wonderful. Now, because it is so popular, it's very busy. It's one of the few nightclubs that, you know, draws people out in the boardwalk. And it is a great take, but they're not just playing Disney music, they're playing anything. And people are singing along, having a great time. Jelly Rolls is really making it happen over at the boardwalk for live music. Not too far from there, over at the Yacht and Beach Club, Martha's Vineyard is a small lounge that usually has acoustical performers in it. Usually Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, Sunday nights, right? Kind of the weekend nights. And low key, you feel like you're in a, you know, New England or Northeast beach bar somewhere, and somebody just came in with their guitar and set up the mic and they're playing for you. So there's not too many venues at Disney World that are like that. That, you know, have kind of that casual atmosphere, and it's a nice vibe there. Great drink list, great wine list. There's only a few other places around the park that we, around the resort that are like that. And then, you know, right up the river, Yeehaw Bob. If you guys have not seen Yeehaw Bob, it's a great family show. It's kind of a crossover from a family show to a rowdy drinking place. It really is a unique phenomenon when I go there, because you see parents who are tired at the end of the day who want to drink, but the kids still have energy and they're singing along and they're drinking Cokes and singing along to Disney songs and everything. So it really is a unique thing. I remember being a kid and going to my parents with venues where they were having a good time drinking. There was music, but I was sitting enjoying the music as a kid. And that's kind of a lost thing. There's not a lot of places like that that have that bar atmosphere, but it's also kid friendly, right? We just talked about Jelly Rolls. That's 21 and over. This piano place is definitely for kids. If you haven't ever done that, I would highly recommend you do that. If you're certainly staying anywhere near in that vicinity that's easier to get to, go there. It's fun to get there. There's other things to do there. But talk about live music. He's probably the poster child for fun live music at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, that is a great show. I mean, that is one that if you can get over there, you will not be disappointed by any means. It is that good.
So I think as we were moving along the boardwalk, the next obvious stop would probably be Hollywood Studios, unless we're missing something on the boardwalk that I hadn't thought of yet. But Hollywood Studios, of course, has one of our favorite musical references, especially for John and I, who like the upbeat, heavier kind of music, and that's Aerosmith's Rock and Roller Coaster. You know, there were a lot of people when Rock and Roller Coaster came out that like they loved it just as much for the music blaring in your ears as they did for the ride itself, because it just wasn't something that was common at the time. You didn't have a lot of rides and coasters that had music pumping in as you were going. So it just kind of took that heartbeat to another level at Hollywood Studios. But there's certainly some others, you know, in Hollywood Studios, some other musical adventures in Hollywood Studios, if we will. Do you guys have any that you want to talk about?
Well, DJ Rex.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Spinning tunes.
I mean, he's spinning tunes. He retired from his day job and went to Batu to not quite. He was reprogrammed, but to spin some tunes. So, yeah, that's a place for sure. And then there's not really much more than that in Galaxy's Edge, though. You know, you do have some Toy Story. There's something I have to imagine is up John's alley in Toy Story.
Yeah. Oh, I love the Green Army, man. That drum line is awesome. Like, I hate to say, but if I ever got the chance, get me painted up, get me that drum, I would be in that line so happy.
Sweet. Oh, I'm so gonna get you a Green Man suit.
Oh yeah, we don't even need to go to Disney for this. I'll fly up to Massachusetts. We'll hang out in New England somewhere. We'll make this happen.
That's an awesome idea. That's
next year's Halloween costume for you, John.
Why wasn't one of you?
I do own a snare and a bass drum, a marching snare and bass. So
there you go. Okay.
That's good. The expensive part's done. So why didn't you announce this as a dream job when we did dream jobs?
I don't know. I honestly don't know why that got passed up. It's been a while since I picked up a pair of sticks regularly, so I don't know. The skill isn't there like it used to be, so I think that's why, honestly.
So, you know, the live music, you know, not as much as some of the other parks, but I'll tell you where the music influence is in Hollywood Studios. Is Disney is a movie company. They have a catalog of great music that won Academy Awards for best song. There's over 100, you know, there's over 100 songs that Disney has won awards for in their catalog. Huge. And what's iconic about Hollywood Studios is you walk in, there's not only classic, you know, Hollywood music, but there's classic Disney Hollywood show music, right? And there are several live stage shows that incorporate those award-winning music, right? These classic Disney songs that are embedded in your head. So music's certainly a big part of Hollywood Studios, because what's a movie without music, whether it's background music or a musical with feature lines? And all Disney has is animation with, you know, featured music. So there is plenty of the Disney classic songs available as you're walking around the park or you're attending one of those shows.
Of those live shows, you also obviously have Fantasmic, right? Which is a take off of Fantasia, right? Which is a Disney score. It's a whole movie about a musical score, basically, that they've turned into a live show. And it does. It takes from all of those eras that you talked about, Carl, of Disney music, and it puts them together in a live show with amazing music, you know, really to the point where, like, if you hear the first three notes of any Disney fan hears the first three notes of the Fantasmic music, they know exactly what it is right away. You know, it's there's no doubt about it. So yeah, a lot going on there.
Yeah, that is another great show. I mean, I don't need to patronize anyone for that one, but that is a phenomenal show to view. And yeah, that's a must.
I wish I was there right now watching that show.
Me too.
So another great spot. Let's move on to another park, because there's so much music around everywhere. I don't know if we can cover it all in one show, but the park we haven't talked about is Animal Kingdom. And I like this venue because of where it is. I love the Dawa Bar in Animal Kingdom. And you can grab a drink there and then just walk across and take in the Tam Tam Drummers of Harambe. You know, another drum show, if you will, John. But it's drums and a whistle. That's all it is. And man, they get the crowds going with almost like a dance party feel. The music takes you away. It's in theme. It's contagious to listen to. And, you know, having a cup cocktail listening to these people is about one of the most entertaining musical activities I see at Animal Kingdom.
It's culturally appropriate too, right? So that's really cool also. And that seems to be a theme with a lot of these musical shows throughout all the parks, right? Is making sure that they're culturally appropriate. But yeah, that's right. That's one of those shows that you walk in, you turn the corner into the Harambe Markets and everybody stops. Everybody stops. It's just, it does. It sucks you right in and it's just a blast. You know, you see your little, I shouldn't say other people, but we did with my kids when they were little and my daughter was two and she stopped and just started shaking her booty, you know, like that was it. I'm going to dance, Dad. You guys do whatever you want to do, but I'm going to dance. But that was, yeah.
That's nice. That's yeah, nice.
One thing I'll say is the African drumming, because it's the purest form of drumming that's out there. I mean, that's where it all originated. To see that and to see that culturally done right, it's one of my favorite places to watch all this stuff. Like there's no doubt, you guys know that all the percussive stuff and all that, that's like so enjoyable to me. And that place is perfect to do it, because Disney, honestly, they do it right. They really do. They get the right styles. They get everything appropriate in there. It's so awesome to see.
So you think about it, there's that drum show, there's the other drum show in Japan, and then you've got the show that's in Pandora.
That's another cool one to experience. Yeah. That is really cool. That is definitely along the lines of the African drumming. But it's twisted up a little bit, and it's another cool one you gotta see.
Yeah, it's another one that, even though it's not a real culture, right? If you've watched Avatar, you understand they're trying to portray a culture through Avatar that is a mix of maybe some cultures that we have in the world today, you know, and they do a good job of theming that back to that, right? It's more of that tribal culture, if you will, and kind of drumming that goes into that. So you're right, another really cool show for sure. With the drums, there's a lot of drums going on in Disney.
There we got drums going on, and you know, that's not the last place for drums, but it leaves us with Animal Kingdom with kind of like the piece de resistance. It's Ryan's favorite, probably only show he'll stop to see, and that's Festival of the Lion King.
Yeah, I was gonna mess with you and say the Finding Nemo show, but no, Festival of the Lion King. You know, I've gushed about this show you know, before in this podcast, but it really, it just comes down to those four amazingly powerful voices, you know, in that show. Yeah, sure, there's some other music in there or whatever, but it's all about the voices in that show. The four leads in that show that just sing their hearts out, and it's just amazing music. Yeah, it's amongst the most powerful voices I've ever heard in my life, and that speaks to what they do there. So I don't know how else to describe it. It's just amazing. It's the show goes really well as it is, but the show is nothing without those four voices in the show. So
another great music venue, probably the one that we kind of save some of the best for last, although it seems pretty good everywhere we go, is over at Disney Springs. Lots of venues for music at Disney Springs, gentlemen.
Oh yeah, it's everywhere you turn. There's an option for different types of music wherever you go.
Yeah, the amazing thing with Disney Springs is it's set up to be like an entertainment mecca, but it's not an entertainment mecca, but it is an entertainment. Like, it all depends on when you're there and like what time you're there and if you get lucky on the right week. But again, amphitheaters, They have acoustic music going on, and at sometimes, you know, over by the food trucks and over by the boathouse over there, they've got marching bands playing, or not marching bands, but just bands, high school bands playing in the amphitheater. Sometimes they've got rock concerts out there, local celebrities, celebrity bands out there, local cover bands go out there. I mean, there's really just a ton of music flying around Disney Springs and as a whole. And that's not even to begin talking about each individual restaurant, you know, that might have music in it. Obviously, one of my favorites is going to be over at Raglan Road. You know, they have, they typically outside, they have a Celtic, you know, string band of some sort playing outside. And then inside, they've got, you know, somebody on the piano or somebody playing a more traditional, you know, Celtic music to go along with the Irish dancing that's going on in there. So there's a lot going on in that restaurant by itself all day, every day.
Inside and outside, like you said, it's just great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
You know, one of my favorite things, and I've talked about it before, done it here in other venues, and is the gospel brunch and all of the blues music at the House of Blues. Now, the House of Blues is a chain and everything, but some reason Lake Buena Vista seems to attract some pretty good blues acts in there, and it's a great venue. The acoustics are made for that kind of music, and a lot of music fans really love the blues. And if you've never been to a House of Blues in your life, the one to go to from all the ones I've been to is Disney. They really do a great job with everything, and some great acts come in and out of there. It's also just one of the few places where, like, you can go to that Sunday brunch at like 11:30 and like hang out on the patio and listen to their outdoor music, and then Sunday afternoon they'll be playing inside. So like, you could just hang out, drink all day, and see, you know, a couple, two or three good acts right there. And it's a quieter part of Disney Springs, not too far from the parking lot to pick up your Uber, because you'd need it after an afternoon hanging out at the House of Blues. The drinks are delicious. So that's one of the spots I would hang out in. Raglan Road, definitely, but House of Blues. I know there's, like you said, acoustics. Dockside Margaritas used to have an acoustic group out there all the time, right?
Every once in a while, they still will. Yeah. You know? And that's my biggest thing with all of this, right? Is whether you're Dockside Margaritas or over by the little circular area that's opening by the boathouse.
Yeah.
Some nights there's people there. Some nights there's not. Some days there are. Some days there's not. You know, it's just a matter of timing.
Yeah. But lots of great. Lots of great venues there for music, and the music that comes along with Cirque du Soleil is mesmerizing. If you like that show, and the music with that is totally different and totally special. So there's lots of music at Disney. Excuse me. Yeah, lots of music at Disney Springs, even without the old Virgin record store that I used to buy all my CDs
and your vinyl.
No, they weren't. When Virgin Records was open, there was no vinyl. I bought my vinyl at the Emporium at Main Street, USA. What have we missed for music at World?
I'm sure we've missed a ton. You know, and that's the thing, is right. Like, we can talk about some of the history, you had the barbershop quartet that would play in the Grand Floridian for a long time, although that's no longer a case. You can talk about Disneyland and all the music that goes on in Disneyland as well, and California Adventure. The Electric Light Parade has its own little music thing. You know, each of the shows every night is scored to some sort of music. You know, each and every attraction has a story with some sort of music involved in it. So yeah, it's we could spend 4 hours on this topic. And
hey, how about the Hoop-De-Doo review?
Oh yeah, good call. There you go.
Right,
Hunter Bears Jamboree too. We didn't talk about. That was intentional, though.
Blood on the saddle. Yeah. No, I was thinking Hoop-De-Doo review, and then the campfire sing-along over at Fort Wilderness is a great time, right? But yeah, you joke about, Country Bears, but you know, we deliberately have stayed away from a lot of the attractions and earworms that there are in the park, right? There's only so many times you can ride Pirates without getting that song stuck in your head. And
Small World.
You did it. You had to say
I didn't sing it. I just said it. Okay.
Thanks. It's in my head now. Thanks.
I'll give you one back in Tomorrowland.
There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow.
Now that one's stuck on you too.
Yeah. Yeah. That one will get me every time.
I mean, that one's not as bad.
No, see, that one's worse for me than Small World. That one will sit in my head for a month.
A month, right? Yeah. I got one that's worse than all of them. In the tiki, 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 tiki room, in the tiki.
Nope. You know why? Because I don't care for it anyway. Really easy to flush that one. Already gone.
Dead men tell no tales.
See, but the Pirates music by itself is really good, actually. So the music.
Grim Grinning Ghosts, right? I told you it's played 13 mm-hmm. different ways in that mansion, and you don't think it's the same song, but it's all the same song, right?
Yep.
The next time you're in there, check that out. You'll hear the underlying tunes. Like, oh, yeah, that's the same thread, right?
Yep.
And you know why the music gets louder in the graveyard when you're there?
I'm waiting for a punchline. Yeah,
no, it's not a punchline. It's because now you're a ghost and you can hear it clearly, right? So when you come out of the Haunted Mansion, you're at the top of the scene. You go out through the attic. Your cart is twisted around and you're going backwards because the bride has pushed you out of the attic and you're falling to your death. And then when you land backwards and turn around, now you're a ghost in the graveyard. That's why you see all the ghosts. And that's why the music is played so loud there, is because, you know, you couldn't hear it from the other world in there. So
makes sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can't, you know, everywhere you turn, everywhere at Walt Disney World, there's music. And it's music to our ears. Is it music to your ears? Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Please check us out on social media. On Facebook at Dudes Dish Disney. On Instagram at Dudes Dish Disney. On Twitter at Disney_Dish. Please visit our sponsor, Magic Vacations, at magicvacations.net. More than just a travel agency, Magic Vacations has over 60 Magic Vacation planners committed to bringing you white glove concierge service. Using a Magic Vacation planner allows you to spend more time making memories and less time worrying about the details. For all of your Disney, Universal, cruise, and global travel, go to magicvacations.net. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel.